actually got more, well, we're actually getting the window first, let's see. Oh, it actually works out better. Scripture actually provides a proper understanding of what it means to be a wife and mother, what it means to be a good woman. And I think it's something that we can give a little bit of reflection on. It's in William Fortin tract in Proverbs, it's Proverbs 31:10-31. And it starts out, a strong woman who shall find one, and strength is in virtue, and therefore a good wife is one of virtue. What's virtue? Good habit. In other words, a good woman is one who's always in the habit of doing good. It comes in the form of a question. They think that most women do not actively seek after virtue, and most women do not become strong women. And by strong women, we don't mean they weigh 300 pounds and outlive men. We're talking about a woman who has her interior life swarming into reason. Scripture goes on and says, far from the uttermost coast is the price of her. To find a woman of virtue is a find of a lifetime. Something which, if he, woman, and the man is found a virtuous wife, he cherishes her. But if she's not virtuous, as I said before, he'll grieve for the rest of his life, and so will she. She'll be unhappy, she'll be miserable. If she is virtuous, though, everything fails, because a woman is, in fact, pivotal. She's not in the center, in a certain sense, of the whole. Even though she's not the head, she is, as Pius XII says, the heart. The entire city, she's the heart of the woman. So in a certain sense, she's kind of a pivot. The husband leaves to go to work, but he always returns back. Where his wife is, that's where his home is. It is a fact that women either make or break the general tenor of the household. If she's miserable, so is everyone else. If she's on a diet, so is everyone else. But the point is that it's, she has to recognize that her emotional life, while the emotional life of women is a good thing, she's so emotional. Well, her ability to actually have an emotional life is actually a perfection. Now, the ultimate perfection consists in having that emotional life supporting treason, commonly called virtue. But it's an important thing, just like talking is there for the sake of children, so is the emotional life of women. You know, the 2-year-old boy runs and smacks his head, he's got this gash on his forehead, and the guy just kind of like, oh yeah, suck it up, pulls him up, so let's go. And you think, is it good? The problem is that the kid doesn't understand, look, I'm hurting, why am I getting this proper treatment here? That, you know, we have some recognition that this is, I'm hurting. But that's where women are, they're more capable of empathizing, which means they're more capable of having a kind of common emotional life for children. But it's for their spiritual well-being, it's to direct them psychologically, intellectually, spiritually. Just as the talking is not there for the sake of your husband, although there is a certain sense that's true because of the fact that she's more likely to facilitate communication when she gets mad and she doesn't want to talk, etc. But the point is that it's their, the emotional life is not there to vent or to be taken out of the husband. It's there for the children. And that's something she really has to work at. The heart of her husband trusts in her. Prefer the Latin. The Latin says confidit cor eo. And that basically means that he confides his heart in her. Adam desires to love his wife. Anyone, that love is a one-way thing for a true man. It's not that he's giving out, it's not a selfishness. He just wants to be able to love her, to show her, to provide her, protect her, give her good things, and give these things, right? Hang his heart to her so that she holds it and comforts it and makes it come, gives it consolation, etc. But if she crushes it, he will immediately grow cold. He wants to confide his heart in her. And so a lot of guys will go into marriage looking for that. If his wife just doesn't received his cards and treated it in a proper fashion and so forth. As far as the guy is concerned, it's just exactly the same. When he knows, but it also means that the wife has a natural, Eve has a natural inclination to want to receive the heart of Christ, but she wants to be loved. Men, that's the natural inclination. Men want to love, women want to be loved. The problem today is because men are effeminate, they really want to like women. They're really making the relationship about themselves because they want to love rather than the other way around. What is love? It's defined as willing the good of another. Now, this willing the good of another means two things. That the good of the other person who is a good thing, you want for yourself, that's called more simplicity latter, love simply speaking. And then there is a more amicizia or love friendship. That's when you desire good things for the other person, not for yourself, for the other person. Because of the fact that men's place is to provide, it's really their place more to have a friendship with their wife than the other way around. And of course, the thing is, after the fall, because Adam is intemperate, he's now not that way, he's very selfish. On the other hand, it also means that women are more, because women want to have the husband of their heart, the husband's heart confided, or your desire to be your husband. She'll want him to want to be with her, to want to be with her. So when you, and this is a reciprocal thing. She keeps my trash, he's just going to grow cold. On the other hand, if you don't provide, if you don't give her your heart, she will grow cold and angry and bitter and that type of thing. So the important fact, guys, because they have less inclination towards the emotional life, they have to work out a bit more than women. But on the other hand, God gave men a more stronger inclination towards the life of reason in order to direct his wife and her emotional life, too. You see this. Bad things will happen. The guy's just a little bit stronger, the wife's crying, and he can actually hold her and comfort her and give you the direction. You know, he has to keep going, etc. And that's a sign that that's the proper ordering. But when a guy becomes emotional, within the context of marriage, it's always bad. You see, when he gets angry, or when he beats his wife, it's effeminate. Why? Because part of anger is a desire for vindication, to assert pleasure out of vindicating. With vindication, harming other individuals, we stop harming us. And so we actually get a certain pleasure out of it. Well, that's the problem with anger. With women, anger very often is more on the side on the plot scheme than they want to make. Guys are just the type of thing they should be over the head of the board. Of course, women will plot scheme and they can be catty too, because you know, it's a very thing to plot scheme. But with women, it's more, women are more inclined to be wounded or hurt or sorrowful, compassion, sorrow. Unless she doesn't get this desire to control under control. Because then if she doesn't get that particular aspect of original sin under control, what will happen is she'll be constantly trying to get her husband under control, he won't be playing paper, and as a result, she's just going to get angry. And so if she does, she makes his life miserable. And that's a good thing, that's the moral of the story. Whenever we follow the inclination sin of the law of flesh, which is a result, it is a result of the fall. In relationship to a particular gender, so we want to control husbands, we want our husbands, you know, don't have our temperance, or they abdicate responsibilities, and they're unhappy. I've never met a woman who absolutely had control of her husband that was happy. One time, I was sitting in my office at St. Francis Assisted Church, this was in Lake Nebraska, and this couple comes in, right? The guy's standing there holding his hat, as his wife did. And her husband pipes up to say one word. If her eyes were in lasers, that guy would have been a piece of charcoal. That means she just. Now, she may have been on purpose when Fulton Sheen was first ordained and sent to the parish. And the pastor was giving a homily on the proper roles of men and women in the household. And the pastor says, if there's a man, if there's a single man in this congregation who honestly says he's the head of his household, let him stand up, and nobody stands up for a while. Finally, a guy stands up, his head down, and says, the pastor, so you're the head of your household? And I says, no, my wife told me to stand up. This is a real defect. But the reason I bring it out is not to have the reason I bring it out is if you want to be happy, not just you, but everyone else happy, if you want to make your husband happy, if you want a really good life for your husband, don't try to control him. Because he has a natural inclination to be the head of his house, you're going to be butting up against that natural inclination, and it's just going to make him irritated. And he will want to get away from you. That's what's going to happen. He's not going to confide in his argument. He's going to want to get away from you. When he knows, when a man knows that his wife will act according to virtue, he can trust her. I'm just talking about trusting the finances and things like that. Maybe what's my you and this is what I get, you know, I spend all this money, I want to do this, I spend all this money. I'm not talking about that. Oh, that's part of it. I'm talking about he can trust her with his innermost life. He can trust her with his own emotional life and know he's not going to get happy. This means in the long term, intimacy, and I'm talking about the marriage between the six men necessarily, the intimacy of the marriage is based on virtue and more principally the wife. Now, obviously, you guys are disappointed with the wife. He's this particular time. The wife is an extremely good and tender wife in person, and the guy's just an idiot. I mean, you do see that. But that's not, I mean, those are, that's just a sign there's something wrong with that guy. But if a guy of natural virtue, or of average virtue, and his wife really works on the virtue, their intimacy within their relationship will be far more enhanced. Separation in marriage is always based on vice. Because people are working to overcome the particular defects, and so those defects are driving each other apart. On the other hand, we have to take the admonition of one of the saints. They wrote their spiritual director, where he says, I would be a very holy woman if it was involved with other nuns in the convent. And the saint was like, oh no, it's the exact opposite. It's their defects. Is the means by which you become holy. And that's why he's telling everybody, when the spouse, when your spouse makes something in the relationship, turn around and offer up for him or so that she or he can actually receive the grace to overcome the problem. When you stand before God after giving account of your marriage and you did absolutely nothing to overcome the problems that drove you nuts, you only have yourself to blame. I mean, granted, your husband has to stand there too, or your wife has to stand there too. But he didn't mention this life, and this is the real problem with marriage today. People have no sense of self-sacrifice. What being in marriage is all about me. And so, as a result, when me doesn't become placated, it all goes downhill. And usually when we say me, we mean my emotional life. So when people walk into marriage, their emotional life is being placated, they get absolutely miserable. If a wife is not virtuous, he will not confide his heart in her because he cannot trust her with it, because it will be bruised, pierced, etc. Man, again, has a natural law of inclination to place his heart in his wife, but if she burns him, he will quickly lose heart in marriage. And in the end, she will become unhappy because she's not getting that fulfillment, because women seek more of an emotional fulfillment in marriage than the man does. She will be getting that, so it just goes down. You know, not put a whole burden on women. There's a flip side to this. If a guy is cold, or if he's unwilling to have a proper life of affection, and don't get me wrong, if a guy's constantly affectionate, there's something wrong with that, too. But on the other hand, if he's not having a proper life of affection, you can't expect your wife to really want to receive your heart. It's just not going to happen. Scripture goes on, and he shall have no need of spoils. Now here we see a switch to the domestic aspect of a good wife. If a guy has a good wife, he needs nothing else to him. You remember, he works for her and the children. Everything he does provides temples for her. And therein lies a very, very important issue. No authority that anybody enjoys except God is for himself. Every single officer, as a father, or husband, or what have you, is there for the sake of others. The authority of a priest is not for his own benefit. The authority of the husband is not there for him to sit around and have her take care of him. It is there for him to be able to give proper direction and order to the family. This means that if a man uses his authority properly, the wife, virtuously, the wife will see he really does what God will find better, and she will naturally be submissive to him if she's born without virtue. But if he abuses his authority, she's not going to want to marry. It's all natural. It's just natural. The inclination is not going to be supported to an authority that's stupid or harmful. It's not for you. It's for her and the children. Please keep that in mind. And on the side of the writer, you have to remember that the authority isn't there to be lord and over you for you to make you feel like trash. It's only there so that you can put yourself to the side and subordinate yourself to God through the authority of your husband. Why? Because all authority comes from God. So if you're not going to be subordinate to your husband, it really means you're not subordinate to the order that God established. It's not God, not your husband. That's what you have to keep in mind. She will render him good and not evil all the days of her life. She's not going to nag him. No. Dear, do you remember this? Yeah. Dear, do you remember this? Yeah. Dear, do you remember this? Yeah. Done, correct? Good enough, done, correct. So, yeah. But you can't nag him. You can't be constantly at him. Because the same thing will happen with your husband. And that's also true with men. If they're constantly nagging, they'll be living their life. Independent is happy is fulfilling the line of scripture in the Old Testament regarding fathers with their children. Fathers, do not make your children least they lose heart. Let's just give up. Just can't like you first. She will not try to control him like a child. You didn't get married to have a relationship of a parent to a child with a husband. You have to keep that in mind. Most women want to control and tell her father. Their husband, what to do like they do their kids. She will not be vindictive. By vindictive, I mean, you know, take back and then do things bad and back. She will be virtuous. But one of the principal ways she does all this is by fulfilling her domestic obligations. There's a natural inclination in men when they see a woman taking care of the house and they have a good, they keep a good house. Tom used to be out of 10 kids, but he's going to be set up a little bit in disarray. But if he sees that she really tries to do a good job to the best of her ability, there is just a soft spot in guys' hearts for that. He'll really love her. Even if she doesn't do, even if they reflect upon his thing, if she's trying, she really tries to do a good job, he'll appreciate it. We all know this. I mean, it's also true to see her food, you know, the way her man is hearts for starting. But it's also true when she keeps a good house. She hath sought golden flags and hath walked by the cats of her hands. She is like a merchant ship. She bringeth her bread from afar. What does this mean? Well, she will seek to provide the family with those things that they actually need. When she goes to the store, she's not looking at what she wants. I just absolutely have to have this drink. No. She's looking at what we need. What's it called? Little Johnny was Rafi. In other words, she's not going to play with herself. In the past, of course, women had to make the clothing themselves. And here the reference is to the fact that a good woman provided clothing for the family. Virtue is necessary. It's true in marriage, but practical ability in domestic affairs is also necessary. The virtue of diligence will move a woman to seek the knowledge that she lacks. And this is a big thing, because in the tradition of women, one of the things that you're starting to see is quite encouraging. So a lot of women are trying to recoup the domestic arts, which are the last, because everything is provided for us by cheap Chinese goods. But instead, now we're trying to realize, no, we should be able to know how to make these things, how so, how to believe, that sort of thing. And she hath risen in the night and given a prey to her household and victuals to her maidens. Two important aspects of a good wife and mother we see in this passage. One, she practices self-denial. Well, I mean, she gets up at night for the sake of her husband and for the sake of her family. This is a very important point. If a guy sees that his wife is actually denying herself and trying to do what she knows will make him happy and be happy, he'll pretty much take her anything she wants. In other words, he can trust to give her what she wants, what is important for her. But that is when I say, you know, your wife will cheat. She loves what's going to make her happy. Sometimes they're the same, sometimes they're the same. When it's a matter of she's a virtuous woman, she loves what's virtuous. Then he just gives her what she wants. Because why? Because it's the same thing as giving her what would make her happy. But if she's a virtuous woman, or if she just doesn't, you know, she is needy or something of that sort, what will end up happening is he'll give her what she wants. But if she practices self-denial, he'll pretty much give her whatever she wants. Second, the reference to maiden's money means that she will provide for her female children. A virtuous woman can sustain another woman in the house. As a general principle, it's called the nesting principle. Basically, this is how to say it. You cannot have more than one woman in the house. It's one of the proofs that monogamy, that polygamy is just absurd. You can't have one woman in the house. It doesn't work. Why? Because they have a natural inclination to want to arrange domestic affairs. But you can't have more than one person in that. If you do, it's called chaos. And if you have one woman in charge, the other one's always trying to figure, you know, do a good little thing. And this is one of the reasons why as girls start getting older, like 15, 16, 17, all of a sudden the mother to the daughter don't get along, or there's all these difficulties. She has to sort of feel and why she has hinted and seen that her business affairs is good. Here, reference is made to the fact that women spend most of the money in the household. What's my key guys to say? How my wife does to spend money? Yeah, that's her job, spending money. It's, you know, in other words, you aren't the one going to the store. Normally, you're not the guy who can show the utilities pay, although sometimes guys can get that too. When they can, I mean, the equipment takes care of the finances is one thing. You're not the guy buying things for a living. You're not the guy, you're not the one going and buying groceries. You're not the one getting stuff in the house. You know, if you don't, you know, because you'll see this once in a while, guys can say, they don't want to give their wife any money, then they wonder why there's no blood paper, they put it back. It's ludicrous. Her job is to spend money. But she has to do it virtuously, which means self-denial. Not what she wants, but what's best for the family. And that means that she has to have a certain virtue in relationship to money. Sometimes women don't. But the danger is because spending money produces a certain pleasure. If women don't, if they follow their emotional life too much and not virtuous, they'll just be, they'll spend the guy who will with you. But that's the thing they have to be careful with. But on the other hand, you guys have to be careful because you guys get stingy. And that's uncharitable to your wife. And sometimes it's against justice when you don't think things necessary to fulfill the duties of the house. The fact that a good woman considers needed, that means, a good woman considers, sorry, means that she does not spend money based upon a type of rational principles, again, according to virtue. She also buys it, which means she does not make her children suffer her stinginess. What's in a great mind is single? Because women have a more tender heart, more likely to find good care of the ones. Although sometimes that's not the case, but sometimes you also get women who are just stingy. They're either envious of their children, they hate their children, they don't care about their children, or they just want money. And so they don't want to give their kids anything. This is a sign that a good wife and mother, virtuous woman, has rational control over her spending habits. The term business affairs is negotiatio in Latin. It means that she's wise in her spending and does not allow herself to be taken financially. She's not gullible here. She'll consult her husband if she's not sure or if it's an area in which it's necessary. But it also means, too, that she's not going to spend a significant amount of money without first consulting her husband. I mean, here we're not just, I mean, the normal thing in affairs of mind, too, that's her thing. She shouldn't have to consult her husband. Unless she has some question about, you know, she should buy this or But the fact of the matter is that once in a while you're going to, you know, they'll give a donation to somebody for like $5,000 and you have $10,000 and you're saying, well, what? It's called mortal sin. And this is something that's very serious. And the height of your husband is what usurpation. Because ultimately he has the right to know the financial affairs of what's going on with him. So you can't hide or deceit. It means you should be completely transparent. If a woman is completely transparent in how she spends money, her husband will always trust her. But if she's sneaky and she's doing things and she's spending money he doesn't want, it's going to drive him nuts. Why? Because she's making him a slave of the world. He has to go to work more, hard work, lower, do all those things in order so that she can go and spend money frivolously. It will torque him off. It's just the nature of it. Whereas if he sees that she's spending money wisely, he's a happy camper. It also means that she is pleasant and agreeable to deal with, not just in financial terms, just generally. She opened her hand to the needy and stretched out her hands to the poor. Women have just a softer heart than men. She generally has a warmer heart than men, not being angry or vicious. Unless, of course, as time goes on, she doesn't get virtue and she doesn't become another. She will have a genuine care for others, those in need. This is why women tend to use guilt that things that require more care of people than guys do in the past. This is why you generally see more women in nursing than it was in the past. Doctors are just going to be more efficient and say, oh, here you go, and take these 15 drugs. But so they do today. But the point is that whereas women tend to be more inclined to take care of, and that part is just a feminine thing to take care of children who overflow in other areas. Her husband is honorable in the gates when he sitteth among the senators of the land. A virtuous woman brings honor to a man. What's honor? Honor is praise or reputation for some excellence. If a man has a good wife, that's an excellence. A good wife is a jewel in a man's crown. This is part of scripture. A bad one is rot. So she brings him honor. A vicious one brings sympathy and shame and embarrassment. Guys, what guys think I'm sorry? I get to remember the same thing, or something to that effect. When a man has a virtuous woman, it changes people's perspective of him. Now, I'm not saying that she's window dressing, that's not what I'm talking about. But it does really change how people view her husband. He is envied for the good thing that he has. She becomes known, and him along with her. In other words, a really virtuous woman makes other people look at the marriage and say, that's how things should be, that's a good thing. Whereas if she's not, everyone's like, good. Strength and beauty are her clothing, and she shall laugh in the latter day. Again, virtue is what adorns her soul, not her external beauty. Why? Because then women are called to sacrifice in marriage. And what the woman sacrifices in marriage is her physical beauty. That's ultimately, and the husband's got to be able to give it up to. And what we call that sacrifice of physical beauty, children. When she has children, she puts up with a woman, she doesn't look the same way she used to, they age her more rapidly, etc. But on the other hand, if a guy is a virtuous man and wants children, he'll be able to look at his wife through the prism of her virtue, if she's a virtuous woman, and see something in her that he doesn't see necessarily physically. What does this mean? St. Thomas has this thing where he talks about the virtue of honestia. Sometimes it's called integrity, but it's a bit more than that. He says honestia is interior beauty. And it's the virtue of which a person is always seeking to do the virtuous thing. That is a virtue. It's always seeking to do the virtuous thing. But when a person has this virtue of honestia, it has a kind of refulgence externally. Why? Because the body adjusts itself to the operation of the soul. If you do a bunch of vicious things, your body just starts breaking down. There's always anxiety for that. That's why you look at certain politicians on their face and you just face practically. It's pockmarked and all weirded out. But on the other hand, when a person, you see this with women in convents who are extremely old, the fact is that their convents, even though the physical appearance, it's clear they don't have physical beauty, there's a certain beauty because there's a proportion between their external behavior that's affecting what goes on internally. The same thing applies with a wife. If she's a really virtuous woman, his heart will be so taken by that virtue, if he's a virtuous man, it doesn't matter what she looks like. What he's going to see through that is the beauty of her interior life. And that's the thing he ultimately, that a good and virtuous man looks to due to her interior beauty. When you're dating, you have to look past the physical beauty to see what's going on internally. Because that's the thing that's going to give your marriage stability. That's the thing that's going to endear you about your wife. If she is not virtuous, all the physical beauty in the world is going to be meaningless. If she's going to be losing a lot of the process of having children and raising children because it's an arduous and difficult life. But she has to be willing to sacrifice that. And that's what a lot of women are willing to sacrifice. Why? Because what matters is not a mean thing. Women seek to look and appear good. But the problem is when they start having children. Now, before the fall, after kids came out, women will look great. She'll look before, during, after, she'll look great. Well, it's already original sin. And so it means that if a woman is not willing to sacrifice her beauty, she shall also. And that means, too, that and you kind of see this, you know, with women today, you know, they just don't want to have kids. So they know what it means. You know, these women have had 10 kids, like, whoa. Not only does it look like you look that bad, you've had 10 kids, it's a mark of honor. Alright, and don't get me wrong. Women should still have natural inclination and want to please their husbands regarding their physical beauty. But the real thing that the husband has to look for is their her interior beauty, her honesty. Not honesty, it's not honesty. That's just truthfulness. We're talking about the consistent living virgin. He'll see that. It doesn't matter what his wife is going to look like. It's weak as and so he's still going to be attracted to her because virtue attracts more than physical beauty for the virtuous man. This is one of the reasons why I tell women, you know, one of the reasons you dress modestly is because the virtuous man turns away from what is modest. Turns his eyes. So if you want a virtuous man, the last thing you want to be doing is dressing modestly. Whereas if you want any guy to be honest, you can come along dressing modestly and you're going to have a guy who's not virtuous. Because he's going to be doing well, I mean, for sure, looking at you. She can laugh when she gets older, which is a sign that she's not succumbed to anger. She's not vindictive, she's not grow angry over what she may have gotten or may not have gotten. Marriage. She will temper her expectations of marriage by looking to the good of others. In other words, it's very important that women don't think to themselves, well, I can't have this. Because then if you do that, you're just going to be unhappy. Scripture goes on, she hath opened her mouth to wisdom and the law of clemency is on her tongue. She's not angry. In other words, we see this with guys. What is the natural inclination of God's life? Head for the barn, get out of the house. Well, and that's what you're going to have to realize. You can drive your husband away if you're angry all the time. But clemency is a virtue in the sense that it's a virtue, it's one of the virtues contrary to anger. Because anger sees vindication to harm the individual. So clemency doesn't seek to harm the individual. And there is a very important point regarding marriage. If you have a willingness to suffer, you overcome the horror of suffering. What you're going to end up doing is high school. It doesn't matter if your spouse is really saying to you how bad they're treating you. You're just going to pass that and say, what's the best thing for this person? Spiritually. That's called charity. What the outcome is spiritually. It doesn't matter if what they're saying is hurtful. If we pass that and say, what is the best thing for us? What's the best thing spiritually for them? Because if you don't, if you're only looking at yourself, charity, what's going to end up happening is the fighting and it just spirals down out of control. Whereas the unchary goes to the past or the insane or willing to suffer, then you can really smooth things over. Things can be a lot of peaceful and quiet in the house. Scripture goes on. For children, what was that? They call for a blessing. A virtuous woman leaves a soft spot in the heart of her children for her. You just can't help but do such for her because they love her so much because she's so good. Whereas a woman who isn't virtuous, she won't just go on the ground around her because it's just too. There's a natural inclination in children to want the affection of their parents and their mother. And when they don't get that, they just become cold. They adore her and realize that she is blessed before God. And by adoring me, they really love her, want to be around her, and they realize she's a blessed woman. They can see it. A woman who is virtuous is blessed. You see it. They just have much more peace. They can take things much better. A virtuous woman under normal circumstances can expect the dedication and honor rendered back to her by her own children all her life long. In other words, if you want your children to fulfill the fourth commandment of honoring their parents, you have to be virtuous. Because if you're not virtuous and you treat your children badly, what will end up happening is they will not fulfill the fourth commandment relationship. They won't honor you. Why? Because honor is due to an excellence. They don't see excellence in you. Now, which becomes an excellence, is that which arises from our natural authority that God has, that parents have, by virtue of being parents. And so children, even if the parents are bad, they still have to become honored. That is, by observing the excellence of this authority from God. But there's another kind of honor that doesn't come automatically, and that's the honor for the excellence of virtue. When children see that their parents have virtue, their admiration and esteem and desire to fulfill the fourth commandment is exacting. Her husband and he praised her. Most men avoid their wives after a while. And they don't have too much to say about them. This is not good. And it takes two to tango, you know, sometimes it's the guy who's involved too. Usually it's both people involved. We're just going to focus on the side of the guys with each other later. But the point is that they avoid their wives because the wives are too difficult to be around. A virtuous bride or wife brings constant joy to her husband. Wants to be around her. Love seeks union. St. Thomas says that the principal effect of love is union. Or being the thing that you love. Well, if she, what you love, you will the good of another. So if the person is good, you want union with them. But if they're not good, you don't want union with them. This is natural human psychology. If a wife isn't good and she's difficult, he's not going to want to be around you. He's not going to want to have any type of emotional life in common with you or anything. And the same goes for men. Virtue, so the first wife brings constant joy to her, and he will praise his wife because she will please him by her virtue. He'll be complimentary of her. He'll be proud of her, not trying to get away from her. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. The woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Even if she is beautiful, it will not. Let women rather adorn their soul with the beauty of virtue. Now, we talk a lot about virtue. Depending on our Catholic context, not just in a general natural law context, but virtue, we start with virtue without understanding revelation. But what we are ultimately to seek is you want to find the woman who is seeking after holiness. What's the definition of holiness or sanctified perfection? If you ask most people, most of the churches have, they can't give you a definition. The definition of sanctified perfection is excellence in grace, which we get a lot of sanctifying grace, which is a lot of it, not just as you imagine you have a confessional, because you just got to get people to sin, you got a lot of it. And then
one of the soul of all virtues. Why? Well, you can't be holy if you have defects. What's the name for a defect? Vice. So you have to overcome our vices. That's done by attaining virtue. And that means the process of attaining virtue, you will merit more grace and become holy in the process. Okay? So, but that's what you have to look for in a life, is holiness. But then we have to search yourself to know the sight of God, because it means that any kind of simple questions, things like that, a good wife will say, you know, I'm not going to have. And ultimately, it's not in her place to be telling you, no, I'm not going to have. It's your place as a husband to check the moral code of the family. It's the place of a husband to check the virtue of the people in the family, not the wife, even though that's part of her job, too. You only fall to her because her husband's failing. And then realize another important point. A woman should really only be working when her husband cannot provide. Unless there is, you know, some circumstance where domestic affairs are completely taken care of, and, you know, they want to get their retirement, spend more time, so they can pursue retirement. It's not for the sake of laziness and sloth. That's what most people do. It's not pure for recreation's sake. It's a principal function that God bequeaths it on people so that they can have more time to grow holy and develop virtues that they could not when they're working, like prayer and things of that sort. But the point is that he should seek a woman who is seeking after holiness, because then she will be able to merit more grace for him through her prayers and sufferings, and for her children, which maximizes the possibility of their salvation. A beautiful woman who's not holy, in a certain sense, is useless, because she will not be able to merit the graces for the family, the way I've seen this time and time and time again. God's very wife is beautiful, but she's not virtually holy. And as a result, God just struggles to save his soul. Whereas the opposite is the case. If a woman is very virtuous, and hopefully you can find one that's virtuous and beautiful, but if you find one that's virtuous, the fact of the matter is she can help you save your soul, which is the principal end of marriage, on the journey to heaven, even more so than children. It's the natural primary end, natural primary end of marriage is children. The supernatural primary end is salvation of the two spouses. The same thing applies to women in relationship to a husband. You have to find a man who's virtuous. Well, how do you know he's virtuous? He's hardworking. He puts himself aside. We'll talk about that more later. So find a woman who's constantly trying to adorn her soul with beauty. What's that mean? Virtue. Fear of the Lord, the turning away from created things. A virtuous woman will be detached from her house, from her life, and goods, from human respect, and things of that sort. You have to find a woman who's detached, not cold. Because that is a lack of the sign of charity. It's also a lack of the sign of the natural virtue of love. But detached in the sense of free from material things that she can do and care for those around her. Because what happens is when a woman comes clean to things and she stops taking care of people around her. Give her the fruit of her hands, and that her works brings her to the gates. A woman throughout the course of her life will determine how others keep her. I mean, we may break our own reputation generally. And this applies to women. If she's virtuous, then the work she does in being virtuous will be praised. If she does not, she will suffer estrangement from her husband, alienation from her children, and no praise or honor from anyone else. It's an either-or kind of situation. Look at you, you have to pursue virtue and be happy and be a good wife. Or if you don't, you're just simply not going to. So what's this mean about virtue? Well, you gotta know virtue. And that's one of the real problems, even among Christians, is most people don't even know what the basic virtues are. People should be studying the virtues, trying to have a greater knowledge of them so they can actually acquire them. And that's an important point for children. One of the biggest mistakes people make in marriage is constantly telling the kid no. Now, look at Grumps' case that we told them quite a bit. But there's a difference between telling him no and telling him yes, obviously. But herein lies the difference.
If you're constantly telling a kid no, he knows what not to do, that doesn't mean he knows what to do. Too many children, even on traditional movement people, get to the age of 18, knowing everything they're not supposed to do, but don't have a clue about how to develop virtue. Yes is yes. That is the right thing to do. You do the right thing, you develop how to virtue we got by doing good acts. That's what you have to encourage your children. But it means that parents have to be able to deal with the virtues on guiding children towards them. Most children by the time they can have no clue. It's why, because the parents don't know what it is and they don't know how to develop it. So it's very important that people actually seek out knowledge of virtues so that they can direct their children properly. And normally in the past, if you just did let a good Catholic life, that pretty much get you where you need to be. But we're living times when it's not the case. Where, you know, first of all, it's hard to lead a good Catholic life. And then second of all, there's certain things, you know, there's certain virtues that are more needed today than they were in the past. You need more temperance, you need more chastity, you need more of these things. But there's other virtues that normally don't arise, like, which, for example, there's two virtues called synesis. Synesis is the virtue in which you know how to apply the common law. This is, you know, stealing is immoral. This is an act of theft, therefore I'm not going to do this right here and now. That's what synesis helps you do. But then there's a virtue called knowing. That's the virtue that the common laws don't seem to apply. That's where we are at now. With the collapse of the church, the collapse of the world, everything that's going on, everything that's happening, hardly apply anymore. I mean, you can't even go out and engage in all sorts of discourse or watch a movie or engage in entertainment because there's so much sin involved in it that you're really what you're going to do. Knowing how to get around these things can still be annoying. It's a normal loss of life that requires a virtue of knowing for sure that we develop sin. How do you develop sin practices? Well, instead of following the general laws, you actually, which you still have to do too, instead you actually have to fall back to higher principles, or those principles, the divine laws and law. That means you have to have a good understanding of human nature, what we're inclined towards, and also have to have a good knowledge of revelation so that you can know how to navigate these things.